Beats NPR station.
Welcome to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. I'm Sean Canaan. This hour, we're going to talk with a local pastor about a vote last week in the United Methodist Church that many see as anti-LGBT. We'll take your calls with your thoughts about the decision by the United Methodist Church. The number to call in is 813-239-9663. You can also email dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. So if you call in now, we will take calls in just a few minutes on 88.5 FM, wmnf.org, WMNF Tampa. Thanks so much for listening. I first want to play some comments. One comment that was left by a listener about Friday's show on medical debt. It's on the U.S. healthcare system and comparisons with Canada's system. So here is one listener's response.
This is Gina. I'm calling from Tampa. I'd like to comment on Friday's show on healthcare and Medicare for All. I really hope you stay with that as you have, because when a bad illness or an injury puts working people in the poorhouse, something is wrong with this society. This country spends billions and billions on the military doing God knows what in other countries, not even necessarily helping them, engaging in war with Saudi Arabia, the proxy war, and a lot more than that. And the trillions spent on Afghanistan to no avail. And anybody would ever begrudge health care for people in this country? It's hard to understand. Thank you.
Well, that was one listener commenting after last Friday's show, which is on our website, WMNF.org. And later on in the broadcast, I'll give out the number for you to leave a voicemail about today's show. You can always listen to previous shows and comment on the stories on our website. You can join us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at WMNF News. Well, last month at an international conference of the United Methodist Church in St. Louis, delegates voted against a proposal to let regional groups decide whether or not to ordain members of the LGBT community and to allow ministers to officiate at same-sex marriages in the church. And joining us to talk about that decision and why he opposes it is Reverend Andy Oliver from Allendale United Methodist Church in St. Petersburg. Welcome to 88.5 FM WMNF.org, Andy.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. So I should ask you, you were in St. Louis. What was the mood like at that conference?
I was there as an observer with about 1,000 others who were there to bear witness to the full inclusion of LGBTQ people and the harm that historically our church has done, not only to LGBTQ people, but at different times in our history. We've had these types of exclusionary policies around people of color and around women. And so we were there to hopefully bear witness to change happening.
And it was, you were telling me before the show, it was very nerve-wracking to be there. What was your mood like throughout the time you were there?
There was a lot of trauma. You have to remember, for LGBTQ people, this isn't just an isolated incident of trauma. The trauma is cumulative. These discriminatory rules have been in our church rule book for 47 years. And so for decades, LGBTQ people have been told by white allies even to be patient, that things are about to change. And we've seen people be called into ministry and die in the time that the church has taken to change. Not to mention, you know, couples that want to celebrate their love for one another in front of their own congregation with their own pastor that have been denied the ministries of the church.
What are the rules, the official rules of the church now? And after I ask you that, I'm going to ask you in practice what some ministers like yourself do. So first of all, what are the official rules?
Currently, our United Methodist rule book called the Book of Discipline does not allow pastors to officiate same-sex weddings. Those weddings aren't even allowed to happen inside our United Methodist churches. And boards of ordained ministry, they're kind of the group that comes together to decide if someone's ready to be ordained and called into ministry. They are not allowed to ordain people that are LGBTQ in open relationships. And so, again, this has just done incredible harm. For me personally, along with many clergy, there are other parts of our Book of Discipline that call us, when we see a law that is unjust and discriminatory, that we are to do whatever in our power to resist evil, injustice, and oppression. And so sometimes that means ignoring that law and doing the right thing, similar to the tactics of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King during the civil rights movement. An unjust law is no law at all. And so for myself, out of conscience, I have been officiating same-sex weddings, as have many colleagues, you know, some in the state of Florida, but many across the connection, all across the United States.
And you could get punished for that.
Yeah, I'm doing so at the risk of being brought up on a complaint and put on a church trial, and ultimately could lose my orders. But I came to a point in my ministry where I decided that I would rather serve in this way and lose my orders than to serve in a way that was going to sell out people and contribute to the harm that was being done.
You're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, or WMNF.org. My name is Sean Canaan, and I'm hosting the 11 o'clock show, and Reverend Andy Oliver from Allendale United Methodist Church in St. Petersburg is joining us right now, and you can call in. The number to call in is 813-239-9663. You can email dj@WMNF.org. You can text 813-433-0885. And Reverend Oliver, you were just talking a second ago about the ways that you could be punished potentially for disobeying the church regarding same-sex marriages, for example. The rules were even made more strict last week. How?
Yeah, so many were hoping that compromise legislation would be passed that would allow each church to decide for themselves if they would officiate same-sex weddings, and each region to decide if they would ordain people. But instead, things got worse. A plan called the Traditional Plan passed by 55 votes, and that plan basically keeps the current rules in place and puts teeth on enforcement and the punishments.
The Traditional Plan was supported, I'm told, by was opposed by mostly American members of the clergy or voters, people who voted in this. Where is the support coming from this Traditional Plan?
We're a worldwide church, and if the vote had just been in the U.S., it probably would things would have gotten better by a margin of 65% to 35%. Parts of our church in Africa and the Philippines are a part of our worldwide body. And it's really important to remember, before we point the finger at those parts of the world, that before white people came and colonized those areas, many of those areas had places of honor for gay and lesbian and trans people within their tribes or their societies. It wasn't until white missionaries came with, in my opinion, really bad theology that exported our cultural wars into other areas, and it did a lot of harm, you know, with all different ways of that colonialism has done a lot of harm. So that harm has come home to roost in the United States.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Reverend Andy Oliver from the Allendale United Methodist Church in St. Petersburg. I'm Sean Canaan. You're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF.org. It's 11:15 in the morning, and we're taking your calls, 813-239-9663. You can also email dj@WMNF.org. You can text 813-433-0885. What is the Wesleyan Covenant Association, that is, and how are they supporters of the Traditional Plan?
The Wesleyan Covenant Association is the name placed on a really long movement of the more conservative faction within the United Methodist Church that has laid the groundwork to potentially split off and form their own denomination. As the United Methodists, we've been held together by a thing called the Trust Clause. That means that Allendale doesn't own its own property. We hold it in trust. And so if we decide to leave, which we are not planning to leave the United Methodist Church at all, but if we did decide to leave, by the rules of our institution, our building and our assets would go back to the United Methodist Church. And so the Wesleyan Covenant Association has been looking for ways, holes in our Constitution to allow them to take their buildings, their assets, and to start their own denomination. And that is still a possibility of something that might happen this year as we see major regions of our church in the United States declare that they are not going to follow these rules that are discriminatory. And you have churches like Allendale that are doing that in Florida. More and more people who were once silent have been moved to a place of advocacy and are going to be challenging and pushing and dissenting from these rules as we move forward.
So if I have this straight, the conservative faction could break off, could split off, even though they essentially earned a victory last week.
Yeah. You know, and the way I feel about this, Methodist Church is a big tent movement. And when I came to Allendale, for example, it was not a progressive church. I got there 3 years ago. They were down to about 50 people, a church that once served 700. They were close to closure. And the people in that church had never really engaged around conversations, heard stories of LGBTQ people. They'd never talked about racism in a real way. And so as we started to engage not just the LGBTQ discussions of justice, but all the different ways that God calls us to live into a world through works of justice, I saw a lot of people move and grow in their faith, move from a place of, you know, just ignorance and not thinking about the ways that their living was affecting other groups of people and maybe even marginalizing them, to a place of advocacy and walking alongside. And so I really want a church that isn't monolithic, that includes both progressives and conservatives, so that we can continue to work this out together. What I'm not okay with is allowing space for any harm to be done to specific groups, whether they be LGBTQ or people of color or any marginalized group.
If you'd like to join the conversation, the number is 813-239-9663. Our guest is Reverend Andy Oliver from Allendale United Methodist Church in St. Petersburg. My name is Sean Canaan. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. And yesterday at the Allendale United Methodist Church, you had a special service. You invited people to come to grieve and to celebrate who you are as a church. So what was that service like?
We partner with a lot of community groups. If there's a community group that is doing the work of social justice, we offer free meeting space. So during the week, it's quite often that we will have anyone from the Girl Scouts to League of Women Voters to the Dream Defenders meeting in our space. And doing the work together, we are now partners in work, and it helps us to be a better church. And so when we had this crisis, I called out to our community groups and invited them to be present with us. We also have a unique relationship with the rabbi in town, both rabbis, Rabbi Torab and Rabbi Weintraub, and both of them were among the first to reach out to me. And Rabbi Torab came with some of his people, and they passed out flowers during the service. When the shooting happened at the temple in Pittsburgh, my people showed up and were present when the community came together at Temple Bethel. And when this type of spiritual violence happened in our context, Temple Bethel showed up and was present with us. And so that's the kind of beloved community that we wanted to show. The other thing, though, that I did ask people to look around. Our organizing spaces and even our church, although it's becoming more diverse, is still a very white space. And so if we want to claim beloved community, we still have a lot of work to do. To do the work to make sure that the spaces that we're holding are true representations of that type of community that we want to embody.
Well, I want to read a text that came in, and this person from the 763 area code writes, "Hello, my name is Mike, and I'm a member of the church. I'm so glad that traditional plan is passed. I'm a father of six kids and the grandfather. With LGBT, our country has no future." So how would you talk to Mike about your opposition to the plan that passed?
You know, if Mike were in my church, I'd ask him to come and to sit down with me so that we could listen to each other. I would challenge Mike's notion that, you know, that we have no future in this country with LGBTQ people. That's a statement that kind of challenges the very existence of LGBTQ people that contribute to our society at every level and are essential. And I think some of the immediate harm that a comment like that from Mike or what happened in the United Methodist Church does, the immediate harm is it sends LGBTQ people and especially children and youth the message that they aren't needed, they're not wanted, they're not valued. And in a religious context, it sends the message that God doesn't love them. And so that's why it was so important for us at Allendale and for Methodists all over the country this Sunday to send the very clear message that you are loved, you are beloved, you are needed. In fact, I even said, you know, we need you. We need your gifts in order to be the church, in order to fully be the church. We need you present with us.
And you told the Tampa Bay Times that you were going to work with Equality Florida on healthy and safe schools, anti-bullying efforts to make schools safe for transgender students. And that probably goes along with what you were just talking about, you know, the answer that you just gave.
Yeah. Equality Florida is doing some incredible work around safe and healthy schools. And they have invited people of faith who want to work alongside them in partnership to be present as we talk to school leaders and to school boards about developing policies for safe space for LGBTQ kids to prevent bullying, but specifically trans students. And so I'll be traveling up to Pasco County on Tuesday to be present at the school board meeting there to bear witness to the fact that, you know, when we make a safe space for transgender students, we're really making a safe space for all of our students.
Well, I have some people on the line. Let's see if I can get them on the phone. But I want to remind you that it's 11:23 in the morning and you're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. Our guest is Reverend Andy Oliver from Allendale United Methodist Church in St. Petersburg. And my name is Sean Canaan. You're listening to 88.5. And okay, I can't get anyone on the line right now, but that's okay because we'll get them on in just a second. If you're on hold, give me a call and we'll put you on just right away. If you're on hold, stay on the line. But I have a couple of more text messages to read. This person says, the church is so hyped up with the anti-gay thing. My question is this, when are they going to schedule the punishments for those people in the congregation getting divorced because of adultery, because of wearing clothes made of two different cloths? I could go on. That's a question from Jim in South Tampa.
You know, it's really interesting that a lot of the what's called clobber verses, you know, people will kind of cherry pick individual scripture that, you know, are really taken out of context when it comes to LGBTQ people, especially that in Leviticus. So this texter is referencing right next to the some negative words about gay and lesbian people in Leviticus is the commandment to not wear clothes of multiple fabrics, which I think you and I are both doing right now.
And we're not getting struck down.
No, and there have been times that the church, the Methodist church, has even have discriminatory policies against those who have gone through divorce. And one of the things that some of the delegates pointed out that, you know, we as a church are constantly in the mode of interpreting scripture. And so we interpreted the scripture about divorce, because Jesus did speak out about divorce. Jesus never spoke out about gay and lesbian people. And Jesus was firmly against divorce. But we as a church have reinterpreted those passages in the midst of our context. And so we also interpret those scriptures based on the life and witness of Jesus, who everywhere Jesus went was about being present with the marginalized and continually drawing the circle wider of who was connected to God, whether that be Gentiles or the Samaritan. You know, that story of the Good Samaritan, that story was told to a faithful Jewish person who didn't believe that Samaritans were part of God's covenant. And Jesus pointed out that this Samaritan was, in fact, this person's neighbor.
Our guest is Reverend Andy Oliver from Allendale United Methodist Church in St. Petersburg. My name is Sean Canaan. You're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF.org. It's 11:26 in the morning, that is. And you can call in 813-239-9663. We'll try to get these phones on in just a second, but I have a couple of texts to read right now. But you can also text in 813-433-0885 or email dj@wmnf.org. Pat writes, I support the work Allendale is doing. This church and congregation is a beacon for social justice. That's from Pat. And also Lou in Tampa says, hi, Sean. Thank you, Reverend Oliver, for your courageous stand. So that's a couple of texts out there. And let me read one more right now. To all the silly religious fanatics, you should remember to judge not and thou not be judged. Remember ever hearing this, let's not pick and choose, says Elijah out there in cyberspace. So thank you for those emails. You can email as well, dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. And I want to talk, Reverend Oliver, about the sign that's outside your church. Right now, the sign has six heart-shaped symbols, and they're in the colors of the rainbow. Below that are the words, for harm done by the church, we are sorry. What do you mean by that?
We put this sign out a couple weeks before this general conference because we knew that even if the rules got better, simply meeting, paying millions of dollars to gather people from all over the world to discuss the humanity and the value and the dignity and the love and the call of LGBTQ people does harm. So we wanted to send a very clear message to the LGBTQ people that we are sorry. And I think it's also not enough to just say you're sorry. Repentance in our faith is the understanding of saying you're sorry, but then turning around and doing something different. So you have to couple that with action. And so for us, that means standing out there and saying our wedding altar and our pulpit will be open to all people who feel called to marriage or called to ministry. And so quite often we have gay and lesbian people preaching from our pulpits. We have our worship leader identifies as transgender. And at every level of leadership in our church, we need and value the gifts of LGBTQ people.
Our guest is Reverend Andy Oliver from Allendale United Methodist Church in St. Petersburg. And my name is Sean Canaan. You're listening to WMNF.org or 88.5 FM Tampa. And let me see if we have, I'm not able to get these phone calls on the air right now. I apologize to our listeners for that, but we can continue with the interview. So how's that sign been received? Have you gotten any negative feedback about this or positive feedback?
We have gotten zero negative calls, emails, or visitors. And quite often, a lot of our signs in the past, for every one negative message we received, we would get 10 positive. A lot of people that have started coming to the church. I mentioned earlier in the interview that, you know, when I arrived there 3 years ago, we were down to 50. Yesterday, we had about 300 people in church. On a normal Sunday, these days, we're averaging just over 150. So we've grown. And this sign has been one way. I consider it to be an extension of my pulpit. So the message of the good news that we have to share, which is about the liberation of all people, we use that sign to communicate in very bold ways to different segments of our society.
And this sign was vandalized last summer. It was spray painted. Your church responded by erasing part of the vandalism and then putting the words, love always wins, alongside the vandalism. Do you want to talk more about what the vandalism was all about and, you know, what your response meant?
Yeah, we were actually advocating for Amendment 4 at the time. And someone spray painted gay pastor on the sign. And so, of course, everyone's immediate reaction was, let's try to get this cleaned off as soon as possible. And I said, no, we need to leave it up and let's surround it with hearts and this message of love always wins. Because so often the harm that's done to LGBTQ people every single day goes unnoticed. And we need to show what the harm looks and then also show what a faithful response looks like. And so we put that message up and, you know, it definitely got some national attention. And that's kind of the church we want to be. We want to be a church that not only is out there doing the work of justice, but when harm comes, when negative things happen, we want to model how it is to respond to that harm and negativity.
What's the harm for a church to not recognize same-sex marriage and maybe even some other LGBTQ issues?
Well, you know, one thing that I have really worked hard at is understanding that whereas this might be an issue for my United Methodist Church, and the issue, to reframe it, is not LGBTQ people. It is the discrimination and the dehumanizing of people. Just like when we talk about racism, we would never say the issue of black people. The issue is a sinful, harmful history of white supremacy and racism. And so the harm that is done, again, I mentioned, you know, children and youth that are at the highest rate of suicide in our church. 45% of LGBTQ suicides among young people are 45% of suicide attempts among young people are LGBTQ people. And this isn't right. And the harm that's done, you know, think of a couple that is part of a church. They give of their time, their gifts. You know, they pour themselves into this community. And as a pastor, one of the rules that's actually in my rule book as a United Methodist is I have to offer the ministries of the church to all people. I can't do that if I can't faithfully be there at the wedding altar to celebrate their love together. And so it really dehumanizes it. It sends a message that they're second-class citizens, and that is contrary to the gospel. That is contrary to everything that Jesus was about.
Our guest is Reverend Andy Oliver. He's pastor of Allendale United Methodist Church in St. Petersburg. And you're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF.org. My name is Sean Canaan. It's 11:33 in the afternoon. And I think our 763 area code, a person wrote back and said, God is not only love, he is also the fire. So I don't typically go back to the same person again. Do you want to respond to you know, that question or that point that he's making, that it's that God is not only love, he's also fire?
One of the representations, I don't think this is maybe what the texter is intending, but one of the representations or understanding of God as creator and the person of Jesus and the Holy Spirit is that presence, often the Holy Spirit, she is represented by fire. Because in the story of Pentecost, we had not only Jewish people, but people from all over the world gathered. So lots of different people that weren't considered to be part of the covenant. And they were all present. And the Holy Spirit came down like tongues of fire. And The interesting thing that happened in this story is that the speaker was speaking in one language, but everyone was able to hear in their own language. There was a real bringing together of people and a unifying force of this God, the fire. And this really bears witness to the fact, and in the Bible, what is clearly articulated is that your sons and daughters, and I would say your siblings, will prophesy at a time when, you know, time when only men were really doing the speaking. And so this was showing the circle widening, not just with people from all over the world, people that were different from one another, people that were considered outside of the church being included in this fire that was descending upon them in a positive way, bringing people together, but also deconstructing the barriers that the church had set up around gender.
Well, we do have the phones working again, so Reverend Andy Oliver, if you don't mind taking a couple phone calls?
Absolutely.
All right, well, let's go now to Willie in Tampa. Thanks for your patience, and we'll get to everyone else in just a second. But Willie, what's your question?
Okay, here's my question here. The things that you spoke to me about, I love that. But it's two things I want you to remember. We cannot live by the 10th commandment. That's number one. Number two, when God made man, He made woman. Now, I don't care what they cut off or put on, they are a woman or a man, and you can't change that. No kind of way at all. The other things you told me about, I love it. But this is one thing I want you to know. You can't change it. When God made woman, He made man. I don't care what they cut off or put on. The day that you were born, the day that you die, you're going to be the same.
Willie, thanks.
If you're born a woman, you're going to die a woman. If you was a man, you're going to die a man. That's the only thing it is.
Thank you for that call, Willie. And before you respond, Reverend Oliver, can you just remind some of us what the 10th Amendment is?
Well, like I'm saying, we can't live by the 10th Amendment.
Thank you, Willie.
You know, to speak to some of Willie's words, I have invested my ministry and life in being present with those at the margins. And even within the LGBT community, oftentimes trans people are found at the very edges of that margins. The highest targeted person for hate crimes in this country are trans women of color. It is essential, been essential for me in my ministry to listen to the stories of transgender people, to enter into their pain and their suffering of the ways that they are treated and marginalized, and to walk alongside them as advocates to raise up their voices so that their life and meaning and gift that they have to give for the world can be fully heard and realized, to do whatever I can to place my very being and body in between them and the harm that's being done. And so I want to emphatically say to any transgender people that are listening, or any especially young people who identify as trans, that you are loved, you are valued, you are exactly who God made you to be, and I am very sad and hurt by the harm that is often directed your way.
Our guest is Reverend Andy Oliver from Allendale United Methodist Church in St. Petersburg, and you're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. It's 11:39 in the afternoon. You may be listening to WMNF.org or the WMNF app. My name is Sean Canaan. We're going to go to Kelly in Tampa in just a second, thank you for that call that was just a second ago, Willie. So, Kelly in Tampa, hi.
Thank you, Reverend Oliver. I applaud your stance. Just like Jesus did in the days of when he walked and dealt with the religious bigots, he stood up for love and compassion. Willie should realize that all the books in the Bible are not all the things that Jesus did and said. And I attend your place of worship once with my daughter. She lives in your community, and I am really praying and thanking God for leaders like you, religious leaders, because I'm a victim of Southern Baptist white subjugation in religion. And you are a beacon, and I thank you, and I thank God for you. What would Jesus do, Willie? Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly.
Do you want to respond at all, or should we just go to the next call?
I just appreciate people like Kelly. This, a lot of people think this is a generational issue, but as you can hear from Kelly, there are people at, you know, every age that, have the wisdom of the way we really need to treat people. So thank you, Kelly.
And our next caller is Shane from Tampa. Hi, Shane.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good. You?
I'm doing just great. I'm listening to the conversation, and I was thinking, at first I said, well, I ain't got a dog in this show. But then I feel that this new movement, the homosexual movement, the LGBT lesbian movie thing, I feel that they're the biggest bullies out there. They're jumping on, saying, like, trying to equate it to what blacks went through, when it's not. It's not like that at all. They have a lot of power. They have a lot of power in government, politics, movies, and all. Blacks had no power. That's why it's totally different. All these people being mistreated. But they're like the biggest bullies, and they'll turn around, and if you don't like what they like, they'll say you're wrong. If they want to don't change what a church policy is, they can start their own church. This is non-conversation. You have your beliefs. Y'all going by beliefs. It's just their beliefs against another people's beliefs. There's no proof of any God. So they can start their own instead of bothering someone else's religion and trying to force their beliefs on another man's beliefs.
All right, Shane, thank you.
They're bullies.
Thank you for that call. Reverend Oliver, how would you respond? And framing it from the point of view of his question was essentially that there were people that were trying to force their religion on the church, but it sounded to me like what you were saying earlier is that most American Methodist church followers are supportive of LGBT rights.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Shane. The vote in St. Louis, if it had been just U.S. delegates, would have been 65% in favor. And it's very important to remember that LGBTQ people aren't just this imaginary group that happened to come to this conference to try to force something. They are United Methodists, and their allies, their parents and children and pastors. But one thing I want to reference the last caller said, there are some comparisons between the LGBTQ fight for liberation and people of color's fight for liberation. Any fight of liberation, you know, you can certainly draw parallels, but it's not the same. He's right. And one of the biggest problems of, and I'll say this as a white cisgender ally in this fight, I will confess in the history of my work for this, I have not always done the work in a way that is intersectional, meaning that if you're going to achieve LGBTQ liberation on the backs of people of color, if you're not going to at the same time talk about white supremacy, earlier in the marriage equality fight, when we were fighting for marriage equality with the Supreme Court, there were some nonprofits that turned to immigrants who were LGBTQ and silenced them and said, listen, we're going to achieve this right for marriage first. We don't want you to complicate things, refugees and immigrants, by mixing in your issues with us. And so that harm was done. And so if this is going to be a fight for justice and liberation of all, then we have to do it intersectionally. We have to do it together. He was right that we have to do better.
Our guest is Reverend Andy Oliver from Allendale United Methodist Church in St. Petersburg. And we have, and if you'd like to join the conversation, you can call 813-239-9663 if you agree or disagree with anything you've heard. You can also email dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. If you called early in the show and we were having trouble getting you on, we have sorted out our phone problem. So please give us a call back if you haven't called in yet. And we're going now to John in Sarasota. Hi, John.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Your line's a little crackly, but we can hear you.
Okay, Reverend Andy, thank you for your very supportive words that I just heard a few minutes ago, because I just tuned into the show, to the trans community. And Kelly, thank you for your also very supportive words. Here are some of my thoughts. I'm very irritated because I heard an earlier show on NPR where there was a pastor advocating for the decision that was just made. The Bible and all Holy Scriptures, but we'll talk Bible. I'm a person of faith. Commands us in two fundamental ways, I believe. Number one, love. Number two, truth. Truth. So let's take the history of seeking the truth. I mean, the real truth. You know, for hundreds of years, people thought that the Bible had established as fact that the earth was the center of the universe. You know, and then came Copernicus and Galileo, et cetera, et cetera. But it took hundreds of years for the church to acknowledge that the way they interpreted the Bible was not science. Number two, let's look at a couple other cases. One, for hundreds of years in this country, slavery was endorsed because people took a passage, I think, from Luke that said, slaves, you know, obey your masters. And God knows how many pogroms and holocausts have been held throughout the centuries because people took phrases from the Bible.
Okay? Hey, John, I'm going to cut you off there because you've made some excellent points already and your phone is a little hard to listen to or our connection. So thank you for calling in. I appreciate that. Let's hear Reverend Andy Oliver's response to what you said. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your call. You know, one of the stories around slavery, those who were enslaved, many of their slave masters, did provide opportunities for them to worship. But it's important to remember that they were given Bibles where all the passages that talk about liberation. So the story of Exodus, for example, of Moses rescuing God's people from slavery in Egypt, those parts were cut out. Those parts were removed. And so it's a reminder to us that in this day, as you know, in this particular moment, LGBTQ people are being harmed and scripture is being used to validate it. We have to look at the whole of scripture, and the whole of scripture speaks about a Jesus who was present with the woman at the well, who saw the person who was blind on the side of the road, who was present with every single group of people that was marginalized. That's where Jesus showed up. And the whole of Scripture also speaks to a church that started with Paul and Peter going out and confronting and finding Gentiles where the Holy Spirit was at work in their lives and coming back to the body and actually getting in trouble by the church for baptizing. And their response was, I saw the Holy Spirit at work in their lives. Who was I to stand in the way of the Holy Spirit? Maybe this God that we are serving is bigger than we thought. And so the story of Scripture, the story of the Bible, is one that keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's where we find ourselves in this context. So I appreciate that caller pointing backwards to times where we use the scripture to try to limit God's love and grace to a very small group of people.
Thank you for that call, John. And our guest is Reverend Andy Oliver from Allendale United Methodist Church in St. Petersburg. My name is Sean Canaan on 88.5 FM, WMNF.org. And we're talking about last week an international conference of the United Methodist Church in St. Louis, where the delegates voted against a proposal to let regional groups decide whether or not to ordain members of the LGBTQ community and to allow ministers to officiate at same-sex marriages in the church. And Reverend Andy Oliver is opposed to the decision that was made by the church. And we'll go back to the phones in just a second. If you want to call in, it's 813-239-9663. You can email dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. Here's a text from 727. I'm not sure exactly what the person's getting at, but let me just read the whole thing and let's see if you, Reverend Andy Oliver, can interpret what kind of response he's looking for. This person writes, Lord's Prayer, first words, Our Father. You want to take it from there, or do you want to go on to the phone call?
Yeah, so that is, how many of our translations translate it. I referred to the Holy Spirit earlier using the she pronoun. That's because, we believe God is a God that transcends gender, that God's not a white dude, not even a dude. And so Jesus did refer to God as Abba, which translates probably better to daddy. At my congregation, we refrain from using pronouns, male pronouns, exclusively for God, and often refer to God in other places in Scripture. Scripture talks about God being like a mother hen who gathers her chicks in next to her breast to keep them safe. And so when we only use masculine pronouns to refer to God, that really undergirds the patriarchy and the subjugation of women. And so it's really important, if we want to be sound in our theology, to understand that God is a God that transcends gender.
And Kip writes in from South Tampa, great job, Andy. If I'm not mistaken, Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself. That was really missing in St. Louis. Andy can correct me if I'm wrong. So was that message missing at the conference in St. Louis?
Yeah, what happened in St. Louis, again, it turned a lot of silent supporters into vocal advocates. And so I think we're going to start seeing a lot more churches and clergy be bold in their witness. It moved a lot of people. Similarly, in the civil rights movement, when the world got to see fire hoses turned on to people of color, police dogs, the bully clubs, billy clubs that hit people over the head as they crossed the bridge at Selma, when people got to see what the harm and evil looked like, it moved them to action and brought about change. And so I think one of the unintended consequences of the conservatives who may have pulled out a victory in this battle, I think they've really lost the war because they've awoken a sleeping giant.
The quote that you gave to the Tampa Bay Times was, this may be a blow for the general church, but it's going to mobilize us to deeper action.
Absolutely. There is a Mexican proverb that says, they tried to bury us, but they didn't realize that we are seeds. And I really think that's what has happened.
Well, let's go to Mike in Tampa. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, Moan.
You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Okay, I think it says in Leviticus in the Bible that man cannot lay down with man in the way man lays down with woman. If he does, they both shall be surely put to death. And my question is, why would you adhere to a book that dictates such a thing?
Yeah, so the Levitical code has to be interpreted as a Christian in the context of Jesus, who gave a sermon from a mountainside, the Sermon on the Mount, that said things like, you have heard it said, but I tell you. And Jesus reinterpreted Scripture. Anytime we read Scripture, we are doing the work of interpretation. And Jesus was doing that work as a rabbi for his followers in starting this new movement. And so next to those verses in Leviticus are also restrictions from us eating shellfish, would require certain limbs to be removed if we are stealing. We certainly don't follow any of those laws anymore. And so as a culture and as a people of faith, we have discerned within our context and how God is being revealed in our present context that that's not necessarily the way that maybe God intended it to be.
Right. Yeah, we don't follow those laws anymore, I'm certain, but I'm questioning why we should follow the Bible at all when it prescribes such things.
All right, thank you, Mike.
That's a really great point. There's a lot of harm. You know, in some passages, the Bible seems to condone genocide, for example. If we interpret that into the whole of what Scripture is speaking to, we can clearly see that the Bible is a book about love and inclusion. When it's, for example, telling the story of Noah's Ark, that's a story that's been told in every single culture throughout history. The way the Bible tells that story differently is God's work of reconciling and a promise to never harm the world again in that way. And it's a story of redemption and love. And so we have to look at the Bible in the fullness of what it's saying. I'm not going to argue with you, though, that there are certainly a lot of passages that on face value do a lot of harm.
Well, we're going to go to Lynn in Palm Harbor in just a second. I want to quickly tell people what our show is about and read an email maybe. But our guest is Reverend Andy Oliver from the Allendale United Methodist Church in St. Petersburg. It's 11:57 in the morning, and you can call in with your comments for the next couple of minutes, 813-239-9663. My name is Sean Canaan. You're listening to WMNF.org. or 88.5 FM, or the WMNF app. And 813 writes in, shows like this just reaffirm to me that I'm on the right path and the path would be full on pagan. I'm very proud of what I believe. I live by it. It's who I am. I don't care what color you are, who you like, me, don't like, or who you want to go to bed with. Makes no difference to me at all. You're a human being. Blessed be, brothers and sisters. That's an email, a text in there from the 813 area code. Now we have Lynn on the air. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, I texted you about the Lord's Prayer. What I meant, because I put our in caps, was it's our Father, not any particular
Amen.
One person.
Amen.
So that's kind of what I meant. And I texted it, but somehow I dialed you by mistake, so that's what I meant, not the gender issue about Father.
Thank you for that clarification.
Okay.
All right, Lynn, thank you for that call. And you can call in 813-239-9663. We only have a couple of minutes left, so let me ask Reverend Oliver about you. We've been talking throughout the show about how you have been mobilized. What's the response been? Have you heard back from anyone in the church, in your church, the greater church, that is, that's maybe now taking a stand about this more than they would have before?
I have received about a message every 30 minutes from areas around Florida, other clergy that are wanting to officiate same-sex weddings, that this vote has pushed them to a place of just saying, this isn't right, and I have to act in a way of love. I've been told to be patient. I've been telling my people to be patient for long enough, and now's the time for action. Other churches, Methodist churches in the area that want to get work at writing a welcome statement. One of the things we did when I first got there, there was a gentleman in his 70s who came out to the church from the pulpit. He shared his story. And in that, after that story, there wasn't a dry eye in the congregation, and people stood up and applauded, and some even walked forward and gave him a hug. And the response was, we have to write a statement of welcome that's read at the beginning of every service, no matter your race, ethnicity, economic situation, sexual orientation, gender identity or expression, background or belief, age or condition of ableness, whether single or partnered, you are God's beloved and are welcome here. And so we say that. We also have to live into that at the same time. And I use those words to welcome every group that comes to our church. And so some churches in the area have wanted to get at work in writing a statement like that, which I believe is the first step.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me on 88.5 FM, WMNF.org. Reverend Oliver.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Reverend Andy Oliver is pastor of Allendale United Methodist Church in St. Petersburg. And if you would like to leave a voicemail with your thoughts, give me a call at 813-238-8001, extension 114. I'll play your message tomorrow. And if you are still on hold, you can leave that. I want to also thank everyone who called, emailed, and texted. You can join the conversation online at WMNF.org/news. The show will be up this afternoon on our website. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WMNF News. I want to thank our engineers, Frank Knox and Alvaro Montealegre and DT. I'm Sean Canaan. At 11 tomorrow morning, we're going to hear Florida's new governor, Ron DeSantis, give his State of the State address live. Stay tuned now for Midpoint Monday with a special guest host, Nestor Ortiz. His guest is Supervisor of Elections in Hillsborough County, Craig Latimer. You may have heard Nestor on Sunday's Urban Cafe. So that's coming up after NPR headlines on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. Thank you for listening.